Spider-Man, Batman, and Superman are some of the most recognized names in history. They're comic book heroes who were heroes at the box office, too. But how many people know that Men in Black and the new Tom Hanks movie Road to Perdition came from comic books and graphic novels? NPR's Susan Stone now reports on how, after 70 years, a truly American art form is still fighting for legitimacy and for income.
Big Planet Comics in Bethesda has a giant inflatable Spider-Man hovering in one corner, racks of glossy comics, and on this visit, a lot of customers.
Now, Queen and Country's Dread Bullets are kind of adult material, so you want to avoid those, but the other ones are fine.
May 4th, the day after Spidey's film hit the big screen, was Free Comic Book Day.
Chuck, you're welcome to take two free comics.
Did my sister have one?
Both events were welcome shot in the arm. The comic book industry hit its zenith about 10 years ago, following the release of the first Batman movie. Then, it slowly deflated. Comic book sales are down two-thirds from that glorious peak time, and there are many theories about how this happened. When Joel Pollack and his partner started selling comic books 16 years ago, tremendous numbers of teenage boys flocked in for the latest Batman and X-Men adventures. Not anymore.
Of all the audience that we've lost, that's the one audience we've lost that's really hard to recapture. My opinion of that is that what that age group seeks in comics is the adolescent power fantasy, the struggle. And video games can deliver that with more reality and more audience participation.
Comics aren't that easy to get these days. You used to be able to find them everywhere. Newsstands, supermarkets, the corner store. Now you must seek out a specialty shop like Big Planet to get your fix, as does Mark Cabot Robinson.
Let's see. Superman, The Incredible Hulk, Hawkman, Young Justice, Queen and Country, two issues of Ultimate Spider-Man, Aquaman.
At 38 years old, Robinson is the epitome of the present-day comic book buyer. Men who grew up reading comic books and just never quit. Called the fanboys, they often collect comics as well as read them. They make great customers. They're dedicated, and they come back weekly for new releases. But they aren't enough to carry the industry. Comic book publishers have responded to these core customers by adding more mature storylines about more than just superheroes, which drives away more kids, or at least the parents of kids.
It's probably one of the strangest things about working in the comic book industry. In less than 5 minutes, you can talk to two different people, both of them perfectly rational, intelligent, adults, and one will say, but they're for kids, and the other will say, oh, they're too mature.
Barry Liga represents Diamond Comic Distributors, the world's largest distributor of English-language comic books. The problems he sees in the industry have largely to do with the public's perception.
Imagine somebody saying, oh, I don't watch TV, that's for kids. What? Or somebody saying, oh, I don't go to the movies, they're too mature, I won't take my kids to the movies. Well, just don't take your kids to the R-rated movies. Comics are a medium. Not all comics are the same.
Americans don't appreciate the comic book format the way Europeans and Japanese do, says Liga. At the same time, comic book characters are everywhere in consumer culture. Superman logo t-shirts, Wonder Woman note cards, television shows like Smallville, and cartoons like the Justice League. The current Godzilla of the comic book industry, Marvel Enterprises, makes most of its income from toy sales and licensing. And, of course, the movie deals.
With great power comes great responsibility.
This is my gift.
Wow.
It is my curse.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm Spider-Man.
In just 1 month, Spider-Man the movie made $500 million. That's about twice what the comic book industry makes in 1 year. Marvel's president Bill Gemmis says his company's real product isn't what you think it is.
Each character is sort of the center of a wheel. So Spider-Man will show up as a t-shirt, as comic books, as electronic games, as movies, and soon as a television show. So the heart of Marvel is the characters.
Core comic book fans don't like to hear that their passion is serving as a hothouse to breed profitable licensing. When storylines and marketing endangered their beloved characters in the past, they banded together. In 1996, readers launched a year-long strike against Marvel when a Spider-Man storyline did away with Peter Parker. The industry can't afford to alienate these core customers, who basically serve as a test market. So, they came up with an approach they hope will keep fans happy and attract new readers.
The key word in comic book is book.
Diamond Distributors' Barry Liga says collecting stories in book form, as trade paperbacks, is the industry's new focus. Because of their size and permanence, they're showing up in mainstream bookstores and on library shelves. They join popular graphic novels like Ghost World from independent publishers. This could be the future of comic books, says Calvin Reed, news editor at Publishers Weekly.
Book format comics are the fastest growing categories, and they recognize this. And in fact, it's some of their most profitable categories, because not only do they issue them as periodicals, but once a section of the story arc is finished, they reissue them as books and sell them again.
At Big Planet Comics, Joel Pollack has already decided to redo his store. He's putting his stock of trade paperbacks in the front and crossing his fingers.
We want people to come in and go, oh, this is a bookstore. Books indicate permanence. Magazines don't. Magazines and periodicals are thrown away every week.
And in the end, even if comic book characters stay in our hearts and minds forever, it's what's on our bookshelves that matters to the industry. Susan Stone, NPR News, Washington.